Society organizations and the legal fraternity on the impeachment process.
Where it's coming from is what surprises me.
Some of the things you've mentioned, speaking against the judges, I find incredulous.
So even the president himself is afraid of the special prosecutor, and that's why he did not even hesitate. Once he got a document, then he sent it.
And tonight we are also live in Parliament, where the MPP and NDC MPs have been battling about the approval of a controversial $150 million loan following emergency recall of the House.
Mr. Speaker, in this occasion, I urge the MPP, my majority, to stand with the people of Ghana and reject this loan. Because, Mr. Speaker, the loan has been misapplied.
And if you have challenges with the World Bank, I believe they can talk for themselves. But we will make sure that this money is spent and spent wisely for the benefit of our people.
This is Top Story with Evans Mensah.
And we'll be taking you to Parliament pretty shortly, where it's been a packed day on the floor with both sides haggling over the approval of a $150 million loan. We're also anticipating tonight that the House will be voting on the approval of the ministerial nominees who have already been vetted, but their approval by Parliament have stalled because of the controversy over whether to approve them or not. In the last few minutes, we know that the minority side have lost the attempt to reject that $150 million loan. We'll take you there soon. Stay with me. But first, the special prosecutor, Kise Jabing, is set to mount a defense as he faces impeachment. Former special prosecutor Martin Amidou has triggered the constitutional process to remove his successor. He accuses Mr. Jabing of procurement breaches and abuse of judges. The Chief Justice is considering the petition and has formally written to Mr. Jabing to file his defense. Here is what we know.
The petition, dated April 30th, 2024, was sent to the President by former Special Prosecutor Martin Amidou and conveyed to Justice Gertrude Tokunu on the 6th of May 2024. Mr. Amidou alleges procurement breaches in the purchase of vehicles for the Office of the Special Prosecutor and abuses involving judges and the administration of justice. Other allegations include violations of citizens' rights through arrests and detentions, violations of the right to information, and improper appointments of personnel to the office. Joy News has gathered that, as required by Article 146 of the Constitution, the Chief Justice is in the process of deciding if there is a prima facie case to establish a committee for Mr. Jabing's impeachment. Sources believe that Mr. Jabing's woes may have been informed by a press conference he held, during which he alleged that judges had conspired against him. Former Attorney General and Minister for Justice Martin Amidou alleges that Mr. Jabing's press conference complaints about the judiciary constitute the abuse of judges and bring the judiciary into disrepute. This impeachment process follows reports that the special prosecutor declined demands to resign and instead held a press conference to express frustrations with his work. Mr. Amidou also claims that by arresting individuals such as Cecilia Dapa and Professor Frimpong Boateng, the special prosecutor abused his rights. He also alleges a violation of the right to information when Mr. Jabing requested appointment letters and salary details of all OSP staff to be put on a pen drive for him, as well as issues with the appointment of personnel to the office.
Well, you may have noticed one of the central pillars of Martin Amidou's complaint that he's put in this petition to the president, which has now been forwarded to the Chief Justice, revolves around a press conference that the special prosecutor held, at which he took on the judiciary, mentioning some judges, not by name, but broadly speaking, that they've ganged up against him. Now, that is now a subject of that petition that the Chief Justice has forwarded now to Kise Jabing to respond to. So what really did he say at that particular press conference? Here you go.
The duty and mandate of the courts is to apply and enforce the laws of the Republic, and not to grant persons immunity from criminal investigations and prosecution. A court cannot enjoin the OSP from investigating or prosecuting any person. The decision to investigate and prosecute lies with the investigation and prosecution authorities, such as the OSP. And the OSP has at all material times carried out its power to investigate with candor and professionalism, being minded of the rights of suspects under its investigation. It is also of the utmost importance that the judiciary should not interfere with investigation and prosecution authorities in respect of matters which are within their statutory powers. It will be gravely inimical to public policy, the fight against corruption, and the administration of justice if the court stepped into this arena to decide who should be investigated, who should be prosecuted, and who should not. That is not the function of adjudication. I do not intend to sound as though I am predicting doom. But we are facing doom. And this is it. When I was sworn in, and in my life, when I take on the reins to do something, I do it to the best of my ability. They say, I'm a young man, I'm a 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 man.
And tonight we're learning a bit more about the specifics in Martin Amedou's petition. And why are we learning? Because the man himself has put a fair bit of what we're now anticipating will be in his petition on his own website. One of them relates to this particular press conference about which he's written extensively about. And my colleague, Papa Niashale, is in the studio with that article. He wrote about this a while back, just shortly after that press conference was done by the current special prosecutor. What did he say in that particular article? Because that gives us a sense of what he would be putting in that particular petition.
Yes, Evan. So he says that that media briefing, first and foremost, intended to heap spurious abuse on and scandalize the court and judge who ruled on the statutory and other application in the case of the Republic versus the special prosecutor and another ex parte Colonel Kwejo Damwa and another delivered by the High Court. Now, he goes on to talk about the secondary purpose was to use that occasion to also abuse and scandalize the judiciary and the administration of justice and bring them into dispute before the eyes of the ordinary members of the public. So, Evans, these are some of the details of that for him, he believes that the OSP going ahead to deliver this particular statement to the press was definitely to abuse the judiciary. Continuous, though, says that in particular, the Court of Appeal, before which appeals from the OSP were pending at the time, and the Supreme Court, before which the OSP's application for certiorari was pending to decide those cases in its favor. The Supreme Court coincidentally struck out the application for the certiorari when Kisi Japin was on his feet enjoying the delivery of his anti-judiciary incitement media briefing or press conference.
So that there is what we know. Martin Amedou had put in his own epistle on this particular subject, and from every indication that we currently have on the back of breaking this story this morning, we anticipate that part of that will be in his own petition to the Chief Justice. So what really is the process now? Remember, this is a constitutional process that has been triggered by Martin Amedou. I want to bring in my colleague. He is on the Legal Affairs Desk, Benjamin Akakbo, just to walk us through what to expect now that process has been triggered by Martin Amedou. Benjamin, walk us through the constitutional process.
Hello, Evans.
Yes, Benjamin, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, walk us through the constitutional process.
So what has been triggered is Article 146 of the 1992 Constitution of Ghana. And the relevant portions we have to look at, if you look at Section 3, it makes mention of the fact that if the president receives a petition for the removal of a justice of a superior court, and mind you, when we talk of the superior courts, we are talking about the three superior courts. We are talking about the High Court, the Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court itself. Together, they form the superior courts. Now, it says a justice of a superior court, other than the chief justice, or for the removal of the chairman of a regional tribunal, he shall refer the petition to the chief justice, who shall determine whether there is a prima facie case. That is where we are now. We do know that Kiti Aja, being the special prosecutor, has been invited to deliver his own arguments on the back of that petition against him by the Chief Justice. But it goes on in Section 4 to say that where the Chief Justice decides that there is a prima facie case, that is on the face of it, there is a case to be answered, he shall set up a committee, or she, in this sense, shall set up a committee consisting of three justices of the superior courts or chairman of the regional tribunals, let's stick to the superior courts, or both, appointed by the judicial council. So take note, three appointed by the judicial council, and two other persons who are not members of the Council of State, nor members of Parliament, nor lawyers, and who shall be appointed by the Chief Justice on the advice of the Council of State. So you are looking at these five persons who then, once the case is established, will look into the matter. But there are other select sections that we ought to look at. Seven, for example, says that the committee appointed under Clause 6 of this article, that is in terms of the removal of the Chief Justice, which is not what we are looking at in this sense, shall inquire into the petition and recommend to the President. 8 then says that all proceedings under this article shall be held in camera, otherwise, or in other words, in secret, and the justice or chairman against whom the petition is made is entitled to be heard in his defense by himself or by a lawyer or other expert of his choice. So these basically are the procedures. The President has already triggered this, receiving the petition on April the 30th, passing it on to the Chief Justice on May the 6th, and now we await what the ultimate decision will be. If a prima facie case is established against Kiti Aja based on the allegations or the assertions made by Martin Amidu, the former special prosecutor, then the process naturally follows from there. The committee will sit on the matter, a decision made, and then the President will get the feedback and he must act on it.
Okay, and that there is a process that we all will be following from now. And we know that as Benjamin went through that process for you, as spelt out in the Constitution, you will notice that one of that particular processes in that whole bunch has already been triggered, which is once you petition the President, he conveys that petition to the Chief Justice. And we know the Chief Justice, in attempting to come to that prima facie case, is written to Kise Jabing already, and this was in a letter dated yesterday, and asking him to provide his responses to the allegations against him, on the back of which the Chief Justice will now proceed to establish whether or not there's a case for him to answer. And you've heard that regardless of the decision, this is a process that has been triggered, is constitutional, and we're watching this unfold very closely. I want to bring in Vitus Azim, who has been following this too. He is the former head of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, an anti-corruption campaigner, watching this closely. He's one of those who campaigned for the creation of such an office to fight corruption. Mr. Azim, thanks for your time here on Top Story. What's your reaction to this particular developing story around the impeachment of the special prosecutor?
My reaction is this. You see, even though we support the office of special prosecutor, it does not mean that if he is perceived or alleged to have done anything wrong, he should not be investigated. So I think that Martin Amidu has done what he thinks is the best approach. He has worked with the office before. He feels probably feels emotionally attached to the office. He does not want anything untoward to happen to that office. He does not want the office to be dented, the image of the office to be dented. And he's brought this thing out. But then, once they are following the legal process, let's allow the legal process to go through. The President has referred to the Chief Justice. Let's let the Chief Justice to look at the matter and see whether the allegations have any basis. If the allegations have some basis, then the Chief Justice will set up the appropriate committee that will look further into it. But for now, I do not want to look at the individual allegations to say that it's okay, it's not okay. Just let the process go through and we'll see what happens.
Daniel Domelevo, former Auditor General, makes a point today in reacting to this that he believes if you are in a position such as Kise Jabin finds himself and you really want to fight corruption, corruption will fight you. He believes this is what is happening in this case. What's your reaction to that?
I don't want to agree to that now. Like I've said, if you are fighting corruption, then you must make sure that you not do anything that will give consent. Yes. You are a public officer, and if you are doing something that people suspect to be illegal or wrong, you should expect that they will raise the issues. So I don't... because he's fighting corruption, people are taking him on. No, I don't agree with you on that.
Mr. Zim, please stay with me. I want to bring in a man who was a ranking on the Constitutional Parliamentary Legal Affairs Committee in Parliament at a time when the Special Prosecutor's Bill was being crafted. He was very instrumental in crafting and shaping this bill, shepherding it throughout the process until passage and assent. I want to bring in Enusa Fuseni into the conversation now. Mr. Fuseni, what's your position on where we are right now? You've heard Vitus Azim says, listen, the process has been triggered. Let's follow it. It's as simple as that, is it not?
Yeah, Evans, and good evening to you and your listeners. Evans, there's an irony to the situation also. The first special prosecutor under the law is seeking to remove the first, his successor. His successor is the second special prosecutor. And that's the irony of the situation. The first special prosecutor was unable to work in office because impediments in his view were kept in his way. And so the best way of retaining his integrity and reputation was to resign. He is now holding his successor to the law. But having said that, I agree with Vitus Azim that the processes under the law have been triggered at Section 15. Indeed, it's Section 15 and not the constitutional provision on the removal of a superior court judge that has been triggered. It's Section 15 of the Special Prosecutor Act, which repeats almost verbatim what is contained in the Constitution on the removal of a superior court judge. Section 15 says that, particularly 1A, says that you can bring a petition for the removal of the special prosecutor on stated misconduct or incompetence. And there are other conditions under which you can bring. And I think when you read the petition and listen to what the petition is asking or what Matnabidu is alleging the special prosecutor to have committed, it borders largely on stated misconduct or incompetence. And so the Section 15 requires that when such a petition is sent to the president, he refers it to a chief justice who establishes a prima facie case in the matter. That is whether or not there is a case to answer, like you said. And we have seen the chief justice write to the special prosecutor to provide his comments, which will enable her determine whether or not a prima facie case has been made against him. A committee under Section 15 to be established to go into the matter.
Now, today, if you listen to the commentary around this, there's a section of anti-corruption campaigners who believe that this is in bad taste and that Martin Amidou is pursuing a vendetta against Kissé Jabeng. Also, if you track Martin Amidou's own website, he's written quite copiously about Kissé Jabeng and he's been full of criticism. Isn't that part of what we're witnessing now? It should definitely be part of the consideration of the evidence, is it not?
Well, that is the irony I referred to earlier, that the first special prosecutor could not work because, in his view, impediments were kept in his way, and so he had to resign. In resigning, he called the president the mother serpent of corruption, and then there are many things that he was starved of. And now, the successor, after he resigned, the office could not be left vacant. A successor was appointed, and he now is seeking to remove the successor. But I've looked at the petition and the matters contained therein, and the most grievous of the allegations is the breaches of the Procurement Act. Because the special prosecutor has mandate to fight corruption-related offences and breaches of the Procurement Act. If indeed the special prosecutor in fact breached the Public Procurement Act in the purchases he made at the office, then that would be such an egregious offense. I mean, that would be clearly That would be intolerable because he has the mandate to do that, to ensure that people who breach the act are punished. So in my view, yes, all the others could carry some merit, which lie because whether or not in talking down on judges and the treatment of the special prosecutor amounts to an abuse of the judiciary, it's a clearly a matter of opinion. That whether or not Ajabin in arresting and detaining Frimpong Boateng and Cecilia Dapa have abused their rights, it's a matter, clearly a matter of opinion, because the, no court has determined that he has so done. And so whether or not sending a pen drive under the Right to Information Act for information to be given on the recruitment made at the office of the special prosecutor office, it's a breach of the act, but no court has so found. No court has so found that breaching the act would require the removal of the special prosecutor. So, if there is evidence that he's breached the Procurement Act, then that one will be quite serious.
You say you've seen the petition. Do you see enough evidence?
I've read commentary. Let me put it that way. Not seen the petition. I read the commentary.
It will come down to the evidence, and I have a bit more here on what he's put before the president, that the president has forwarded to the CJ. And I just want to quickly summarize. One, obviously, is the first is encroachment of authority. He alleges it is the president who should have appointed staff of the OSP and not the special prosecutor. He also alleges the SP encroached the powers of the president when he engaged the services of three directors when he did not have a board. He pointed out, in many words, that he had mainly sought the secondment of staff to his office with the approval of the president when he did not have a board. Now, two is inducement of staff from sister law enforcement agencies. Now, the former special prosecutor alleges that the current special prosecutor recruited staff from sister law enforcement agencies, particularly the Economic and Organized Crime Office and the Ghana Police Service, by inducing them with higher salaries and higher ranks. Now, Mr. Amidu attached resignation letters he officially obtained from Iyoko, and of course this is marked as restricted, who are now working with the OSP. He also attached RTI requests he made to the Ghana Police Service for names and ranks of officers who have resigned to join the OSP. Police did not provide official resignation letters, but a write-up. There's also abuse of citizens' rights through arrest and detention. And here, he alleges that the OSP's handling of the cases involving Madame Cecilia Dapa, Professor Frimpong Boateng, Colonel Damoa, Joseph Eduche, is a custom division of GRA, and Miss Eunice Jacqueline Boa Asuma Hine is the chief executive of the La Bianca and a member of the Council of State, amounted to an abuse of the rights of these citizens. Now, he also goes on to say that through the arrest and their detentions, this is an abuse. He attached the entire court documents filed at the High Court from start to finish of the Cecilia Dapa's case to his petition as exhibit. And then there's a case of abuse of the judiciary. Then in this particular instance, he references that press conference which I played to you earlier. Then come to the procurement breaches. Now, he alleges that the OSP had breached procurement rules. We are learning a bit more about which procurement rules exactly and surrounding which procurement. It talks about the refurbishment of the new office complex and procurement of vehicles. Now, he says there's an exhibit he attached of an RTI request to the procurement authority for documentation covering such transactions. And he says the PPA, actually, from what we are learning, the PPA denied the request for information on the basis that they are not for the OSP. That's also something that we wait to see a bit more of. And then finally, he also references the refusal by the OSP to grant an RTI request. Now, he alleges that the OSP did not grant him information with several right information requests made by him. He requested that the OSP provide him with the appointment letters and salary details of all OSP staff on a pen drive, and details on the specialized vehicles by the OSP. So just a bit more we're learning on this petition. And Ms. Enusa Fuseni, having gone through what I just read through there, Do you agree with those, for example, like Adam Senanu, who says he senses vendetta here?
Yeah, I'll not go that far. I think that first of all, the RTR request, if you make an RTR request and it has been refused, you have to exhaust the process. And you have to go to the commission, and the commission will make a determination whether the information should be made available or not. If the commission determines that the information is not protected information and so should be made available, and the commission refuses, you have an option to go to the Superior Court. Now, if it is if you allege that it involves state secrets, you go to the Supreme Court by the Constitution. So there are processes, and if you don't exhaust those processes and say that because someone has refused to comply with the provisions of the RTI law, that fellow should be removed from office, then what happens to the appeal processes? What happens if the commission vindicates its refusal? What happens if the Supreme Court vindicates its refusal? What happens? So there are issues. I think that, yes, it is within Martin Hamidou's right to seek to remove the special prosecutor, because the law doesn't provide a qualification for persons who should bring a petition for the removal of the special prosecutor in Section 15. And so it is within his right. He has locus. And let's wait to see whether the allegations raised in the petition can be sustained by the Chief Justice. I'm just surprised that the President has acted with such alacrity. This time, I'm sure they will say that he's abiding the provisions of the Act. But I know that previous petitions have been sent against Chief Justices and then the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, which petitions have not been referred to the Chief Justice. So again, it raises issue. Has Martin Hamidou's Act fallen in tandem with what the President and his party wants of the special prosecutor? So these are issues that clearly people are agitating people's minds. Is it the case that the MPP government under Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo and Bawumia already wanted the removal of the special prosecutor? And there's a happy coincidence because Martin Hamidou has brought a petition.
But the President, another provision you just read there, I'm talking about the constitutional provision, not the one under
the USP. No, the Act. Read the Act. Yes. Because this office is established by an Act of Parliament.
And you say that the President isn't just a conveyor belt?
No, it's a conveyor belt.
Yes.
I'm saying that there are other instances where the conveyor belt refused to function.
Such as
the you remember the case against the former Chief Justice Sophia Akufo-Oru, and you remember the case against the present Electoral Commissioner sent by Asipa, or what is it?
But you raised that point. You raised that point even when you, as you cite the examples there, if the President decided not to convey and transmit those petitions, and it is, you believe then, an abuse or a violation of the Constitution, it is left to those who send the petition to raise a case at the Supreme Court.
Well, I'm saying that if the President is a conveyor belt, the conveyor belt must not cease to function. And in some cases, we have seen the President exercise his discretion not to transmit, not to receive and transmit. So I'm just using that as examples of whether or not it was already the intention of the government to see the back of the special prosecutor. And the happy coincidence, Martin Hamidou has brought a petition and the President has acted as a conveyor belt. In this case, the conveyor belt functioned.
And I want to ask Vitus Azim your take on that. I mean, because some have also raised the same questions that Enusa Fusain is raising right now about the application of this particular rule when other cases of possible breach of the constitutional procurement rules have been used as a basis, say, for to triggering that particular clause. The president had not necessarily transmitted it. And it comes down to your point you made at the beginning that, yes, you're supposed to fight corruption, but if there are allegations against you that you yourself are breaching those rules, then it is right that the law is fully applied in your case. But it's also about the application, right? The fair application, regardless who is against.
Well, that one, the president has made a mistake. But that doesn't still stop him from going ahead to perform his duty. So I think that, yes, the president has done something wrong in the past. With regards to the two examples, Honorable and Minister will say that. But that doesn't stop him from doing others. It is selective justice that he's trying to do. And we have condemned him for doing that in the past. But then you have to put, the president is on his way out and he probably wants to amend his way. So let's look at this case as a new case and look at it from that perspective. Yes.
Now, Vices, I know you're one of those who have been particular about our fight against corruption and institutional strengthening. And we saw the manifestation of that in the establishment of the OSP office. I mean, what does it say about our commitment to fight corruption when the first occupant of that office resigned? The second occupant is now facing impeachment.
Well, the first resignation said a lot about the fight against corruption. Because if the person you have appointed to fight corruption tells you that he's being frustrated and as a result he's resigning, definitely it doesn't speak well of the fight against corruption. But unfortunately, this second case is taken by the first person against the second person. And I've said that let's wait for the outcome of the investigation. If it's exonerated, it doesn't affect the fight against corruption. But if it's found guilty, it is telling the appointed authorities that you must do your groundwork properly and appoint people with a clean state, clean bill of state, so that when they come in, they'll do the right thing, so as they can qualify as people fighting corruption. That's how I want to look at it.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.